Continue discussing some of the things we learned yesterday. We're going to the Seder Hayom. The last thing that we finished off yesterday was what to do if you stay up the entire night. We went through all the different possibilities. They're basically, just to recap very quickly, there are five barachos. There are five barachos which have issues. The barach of Elokai Neshama, the barach of Hamavir Shena, the barach of Nitilas Yodayim, the barach of Birchos HaTorah, which really are three blessings, Birchos HaTorah, and what did I leave out? Did I leave out? One more time. Elokai Neshama, Mavir Shena, Nitilas Yodayim, Birchos HaTorah, and Tzitzis. Okay, so those are the five blessings, and the truth is you can reduce, the truth is they're not, most of them are not really issues. Tzitzis for a married man is not an issue. You put on a talis, that's it, you're done. The minig is that married men today do not make a bracha on a talis skatan, so they have no issue. They make put on the talis skull, they make a bracha. As far as netilas yodayim, that's not an issue because after the person goes to the base, like he say lechatchili, it's allowed to make netilas yodayim. As far as birchos HaTorah is concerned, it's really a chumrah not to be able to make the bracha of birchos HaTorah if you're up the entire night. And b'diavad, if you have no one to make the bracha for you, you can make the bracha yourself. You really can be makel. And certainly, if on the day before you have kavanah not to be yoitz, and that the bracha should expire the next day, you can make the bracha on your own. The bracha of Elokai Neshama and the bracha of Hamavir Shena, not everyone agrees it's a problem. Okay, we're machmir, and our chumra requires us to hear someone make the blessings. It's obviously, it's a ceremony in the shul, that when it's time to daven, there is a person who gets up, a person is appointed, a person who has slept at night for at least a half an hour, and he gets up and he recites all of the brachos, and everyone listens to him answer Amen, and I guess Berov Am Hadras Melech, and it depends how it's done. So over the years, I've seen some shuls, some place where it's done in a very dignified way, and unfortunately, I've seen it done in a way that's not very pleasant, where the person who makes the brachos doesn't know how to, unfortunately, doesn't pronounce the words correctly, and mumbles the brachos and doesn't know what he's doing and gets all mixed up. Ezeu chacham haroya es hanoilat. A good rabbi will be on top of it and make sure he appoints a responsible person to be there, to recite the brachos properly in the correct order with the correct kavana. I have to tell you, Rabbi Shulman is amazing. Rabbi Shulman, what he's doing here for the shul here, how organized, how masudar, it's unbelievable. It's unreal how he has arranged the minyanim in such detail, with precision, and being careful to follow every single rule. It's really, really remarkable. I was told yesterday, I thought in Lakewood all the shuls are closed. It's not true. I was told yesterday that 80% of the shuls in Lakewood are open. I was told yesterday that MTJ, I can't believe this, MTJ, Rav David Feinstein, who's known to be the most stringent and issued a psak halacha that it's Osir to daven, MTJ is open. MTJ in the Lower East Side is in operation. The yeshiva is open. So obviously, even Rav David Feinstein has had a change of opinion very recently. It cannot possibly be that MTJ is open. If Rav David Feinstein gave a psak halacha, says yeshiva, that it's Osir. MTJ is, I've been told, someone's, I'll send you a picture. I'll send you, it's open. So obviously, a lot has changed very recently, very quickly. All the shuls are open. I told you, you don't have to be from the Asar Rishonim. And I would strongly advise you not to go. And in fact, unfortunately, I myself have to stop going to places that I was going to for a very long time. Over this whole period, I had permission by the rabbi to hang out in a shul, not this shul, another shul, because there was no one there. Zero. No one was there. And he told me I can go, keep the lights off, and sit in the back, and you're all alone, it's fine. And then someone else came to the shul. So we split up the territory. You have half of the world, and I have the other half. You can have Europe, Australia, and China. I'll take America and Canada and Mexico. And then someone else came. So we sent him to the basement. And this guy was sitting with a mask and gloves. This guy looked like, who knows? All right, then this, now I can't go there anymore. I don't like it. Too much. No good. So because everyone opened up, I'm losing out now. I have to go into hiding. I'm a little nervous. And Shabbos, this past Shabbos, I went. I was guaranteed everything would be safe and secure. And all the shuls are open. Chaim Berlin is open. The whole neighborhood is open. What I really don't understand, Rabbi Isai, and I'm guilty of this also, I really don't understand. You have to explain this to me. We have here Rabbanim who are the Gedolei Hador of David Feinstein, of Hill David, of David Cohn, of Herschel Schechter, Rabbi Feldman, Ner Yisrael. These people are always the names that we rely upon, we use when it comes to matters of life and death. Should we pull the plug or not pull the plug? Should we? These individuals are the Gedolei Hador. Mipiem Anu Choyim. We live on their Psak Halacha for everything you could imagine, and we rely upon them. And all of a sudden, when it comes to this, they've all concluded, Rav David Feinstein, Rav Hill David, Rav David Cohn, Rav Herschel Schechter, they've all said very clearly, there's no emergency to come back to shul. Just because the governor said it's mutter, just because the mayor said it's mutter, and just because the president is tremendous to open up all of the house of worship, the Gedolei Hador, Shemipiem Anu Choyim, have all together said, don't. I know some of everyone's coming to debate. Did they say as a psak halacha, or Eitz Atoiva Kamash Malan? But the bottom line is they said don't. So can you explain to me why the entire Flatbush, the entire Lakewood, Bar Park, I'm not even going to go there. Bar Park, forget about that. I'm not even going to go there. And just about the entire America, is open for business. Why? And it's open for business to such a degree that I feel so much pressure to keep up with the Joneses that I also was suckered into going. Why? I don't get it. These are the people, Shemi PM Anu Choyim, and they've all advised. Some advise Alts Halacha. I think of Herschel Schechter, it's a halachic psak. Halacha. Osir. Mutter Osir is the meat kosher treif. Ask for if you go to Herschel Schechter, is it kosher? He's the OU of Herschel Schechter, gives the psak on all of the food that you put in your mouth. It is his decision if you're allowed to put the food in your mouth. If he says it's Osir, you don't put the food in your mouth. If he says it's mutter, you put the food in your mouth. And he also said that according to the halacha, it is osur for you to step into a house of worship. And the other Gedolei Yisrael, I don't know if they said it's mamish osur. Obviously, Rav David Feinstein, if his MPJ is open, obviously it doesn't mean that it's osur. You're just saying eitz atoiva kamash malan. So what's the pshat? How do we understand there's something fundamentally wrong? There really is something fundamentally wrong. It just goes to show we're hypocrites. We don't really believe in our Gedolim. That's
caved in to immense pressure and bypassed the post him and did whatever they felt like doing and opened the shuls. There was immense pressure on each rabbi's part.
There is.
By the congregants. Open. Why? Because Trump cares if you're open, you're not open. It doesn't bother him. He has no stuff. They bypass these people and they open.
Obviously, the people in our community and all across the entire, they're literally going out of their minds. They're going out of their minds for many different reasons. But so what? If the Poskim, if the Gedolei Yisrael have decided and have advised what should be done, these are the biggest people. These are the names. These are the names of the people that we rely on in all the most complex halachic issues. There are certain things no one wants to do unless you have a big psak halacha. Gerus, different shilas of gerus, different questions of kiddushin, marriage and divorce, mamzerus, life and death, pulling the plug, medical issues. These are the names that no one's going to budge until you get their stamp of approval upon. And here, when you're dealing with...
All of Teaneck, every shul in Teaneck is closed and will be closed. There's probably around 15 shuls, and they're all shut, closed.
Okay, very good. Excellent. The following the Psak of Rav Herschel Schachter, 100%, the OU,
right.
100%. And what about in Flatbush?
Okay, sorry to disturb.
And what? No, it's not a disturb. This is wonderful. And what about in Flatbush? In Flatbush, every shul in Flatbush, every shul is open.
Where my wife used to daven in Yavne, they said the shul will be closed until the OU and the post can give permission to open.
Okay, very good.
Because they have cramped quarters, they have elderly people, and the shul will be, that's the one by that rents by Beretsky on 12th Street.
Yes, I know. I know, it's not a safe place to go there. I know, the minion where Yavne minion is, it's in the basement. Don't ever go into a basement. It's a very, the most important thing the doctors are saying is ventilation. Ventilation is key. To go into a basement is mamash sakonis nefashis. To go down in the minion with a lot of people in the basement is. I know, I've been there. I've been in the Yavne minion.
That's called suicide.
I've been to the Yavne minion. The Yavne minion is in the basement. There's no windows down there.
Yes.
There's no. It's very.
We're closed also. Because the rabbi asked Rabbi Herschel Schachter yesterday, he said, stay closed.
Okay.
Rabbi, the Kingsway is closed, and the Rav there advises everyone not to go to any other minion.
Okay.
I don't understand how the Young Israel of Midwood is open, considering that the rabbi is a Rosh Yeshiva in Yitzchok Chanan, and I think he owes a certain fealty to Rav Schechter, so I don't know how he's doing it.
Rabbi Alman is closed.
I don't know. Okay, let's go back to our topic. But
okay, sorry.
No, you're sorry about it. I don't know. Rav David Feinstein also. I was shocked. Rav David Feinstein also says, and MTJ itself is open. MTJ, his own yeshiva is open. So what's going on? I don't know.
MTJ is open because the collectors have to go somewhere.
I don't know. All right, putting that aside, let's go back to continue our discussion. Our discussion over here is we have in the morning of Shavuos morning after we daven kivasikin, the minigus daven the Shmona Esrei at the time of sunrise. Sunrise is kivasikin, okay, and you daven Shema right before and with sunrise. Is when we daven the Shmona Esrei. Okay. After Shmona Esrei, okay, let's go to laning. We come to laning. There are some interesting minhagim. We don't do this today, but there's a very unique minhag to read the tanoim. There is a nusach in some machzorim. We know we go to a wedding. There are tanoim and there is the ksuba. They read by the chosin's tish the tanoim, and they read under the chuppah. They read the ksuba. There is a piyut, there has been written, you can find it in some sidurim, I don't know who the author, it's an ancient piyut, a piyut that basically is a piyut that's written like the Tanoim between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. Matan Torah is viewed in the eyes of Chazal as a marriage ceremony. And in a marriage ceremony, there are Tanoim, the conditions, each one has to the other. And then there is the ksuba, the commitment that the husband has, is going when he commits himself to the kala. So there are two piyutim. One piyut is written in the form of a tanoim, one is written in the form of a ksuba, and there's an ancient minuk to read the piyut that's written in the form of the tanoim on, that's written in the form of the tanoim on the first day of Shavuos, and the piyut that's written in the form of a ksuba is written on the second day of Shavuos. Okay, that's a very beautiful minug, and you know, it captures the flair of what Matan Torah is all about, the chas, the fact that it's a wedding ceremony, to read these two piyutim. Okay, the next thing we have to remember is that on Shavuos we say the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'Chanun. The Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim is a very serious matter. The Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim is only read when it's a time of din. Chazal say that on Shavuos it's a time of din, a din for the peros, the fruits of the world. The peros ha'olam are judged. Will there be fruit? Will be judged on Shavuos. And that's why some have the meaning to bring trees into the shul or to bring leaves to remind us that on Shavuos it's the day of din for the peros ha'olam. And the peros ha'olam is also symbolic of children. A person's peros are his children. It's a very scary principle. On Rosh Hashanah, judgment is for us, is for the man himself. Mi yichye mi yamos. On Shavuos, there's a judgment. What kind of fruit will you produce? What will be the result of your actions? Peros ha'ilan. Ki ha'adam etz ha'sadeh. On Rosh Hashanah, there's a din of your relationship to your children. How will your children turn out? It's a very serious moment. So where then in the Nusach HaTzfilah do we focus on din? And the answer is when we say the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. It's very unfortunate that many of us don't appreciate the intensity of the moment when you open up the Aron HaKodesh and you recite three times Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum Chanun. That's a very, very significant moment of time on Yom Tov to fully apply yourself and to mechavein that Hashem should have rachamim upon all of us on this day of din of the Peros Ha'ilan, which really refers to children. It's not a simple matter at all. The Aron is open. That's symbolic of it's an Eis Rachamim. Whenever we open up the Aron, it represents a time of mercy, and we mevakeish Hashem should have rachmanis upon us. We take out two Sefer Torah and then we do Akdamos. Now Akdamos, the way it's done today, in ancient times, it was clearly done after they lain the first pasuk. In ancient times, they would lain the first pasuk. They give the kohen the aliyah, and they read the first pasuk. B'chodesh hashlishi l'tzeis b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim b'yom hazeh bo midbar Sinai. And then, after the first pasuk was read, they would begin akdamus milin. They would begin akdamus. Who would say the akdamus? It would appear the one that in the ancient time was not the Baal Kuriya. It was said by the Meturgamon. The Taimonim still do this Ad Yom Hazeh. After they read a Pasuk, the Meturgamon translates the Pasuk in an Aramaic, an unculus. So what is Akdamos? The Akdamos was the introduction to the translation. It was the intro. And the Meturgamins were given the option of giving their own introduction to the translation of the Psukim. And the Akdamos is considered to be a model introduction to Targum, especially as it relates to the themes of Matan Torah. And that is why we still do this Ad Yom Hazeh. Bizman Hazeh, we Ashkenazim do not any longer have a Meturgamon, but to as a token reminder that there used to be back in the day of Meturgamon, once a year on Shavuos, we have the role of the Meturgamon appear in Akdamos, and we only do the intro. The truth is the very last expression of Akdamos is indeed a translation for the very first pasuk. So it's the introduction, and it is a minor, it is a partial translation for the first pasuk of Bachodesh Hashlishi, Letzeis Meishal Mi'er Yisrael B'yom HaZeh B'Midbar Sinai. Now, being that it's done by the Meturgamon, because it's done by the Meturgamon, there are many that argue that the one that should say the Akdamah should not be the Baal Kriya. It should be someone else. That's clearly not the common minhag. The common minhag today is that the one who reads the Akdamah is the Baal Kriya. And that's how it is. Okay, that's how it is. But it's not necessarily correct. It would probably be more ideal if someone else, because we want to separate the Baal Kriya from the Miturgamon. Now, another...
Yes, I'm calling about UNET.
Okay,
shut
now...
Shut them down!
I shut them down. He shut down. Next. Mark, calm down. There are a lot of bigger problems in this world. Okay, the next...
The Democrats, shut them down.
Okay, now the next... Now, this is something I found very interesting. When I've read over here in my different farm, this would appear to be the ideal way to do Akdamas today. It used to be they would call up the Kohen, they would relay in Bachodesh, the first Pasuk, and after the first Pasuk, then the Meturgman would begin. He would begin with Akdamas. Why after one Pasuk, not after two Pasukim? Okay, that's another topic of conversation. Today, we don't do that anymore. At least 95% of the population does not do that anymore, because since we no longer follow the practice of translating every Pasuk, so we do not want to be mafsik. We don't want to be mafsik. So what we do is we recite the Akdamos before the Kohen makes the bracha. That is the way it is done in at least 95% of the shuls that we are familiar with, if not 100%. Come, they put the Sefer Torah down on the bima, and the Gabbai reads, V'yazor v'yogein v'yoyashia l'chol ha'chosim boi v'noy maramein, and he recites the whole nusach, Ya'amoid ploini ben ploini ha'koyein, Baruch Shnasan Tarel Le'amayishol Bigdush Asoy, and everyone responds, and then before the Kohen says Baruchu, the Baal Kriya begins Akdamos Milim. It would appear that it would be more correct. I have never seen this. I'm trying to really rack my brain on this. I don't think I've ever seen this. It would be more correct even today, Hayoim, in the year 2020. Now, I don't know if you can do this year. Okay, this year, if you're not davening with a minion, forget about it, obviously. But even if you're going to be going to a shul where they have a minion, I don't know what they're doing, because today the kriya is totally different because of corona. You know, only one person should be at the bima. But let's talk about Mir Hashem next year, when everyone, there's no issue of social distancing, it would appear the correct thing is that the Baal Kriya should open up the Sefer Torah and show the Kohen the place in the Sefer Torah where he will begin, and then close the Sefer Torah, and then you start Akdamas, right before he makes the bracha. I've never seen that. I've seen where they put the Sefer Torah on the bima, and they say V'yazor V'yogein, and that's it. And then, even before the Baal Kriya shows the place to the Oile, he begins Akdamos Milim. It seems you should do more. Go the extra step. Open up the Sefer Torah. Point to the place of Bachodesh HaShlishi. And right before you let him make that bracha, close the Sefer Torah. And then you begin Akdamos. Because we want to bring Akdamos as close as possible to the Kriya itself, to preserve the ancient minhag. Now, the same way we do Akdamas on the first day, we do Yitziv Piskam on the second day for the Haftorah. Okay, Yitziv Piskam is equivalent to Akdamas, except Akdamas is for Kriyas HaTorah, and Yitziv Piskam is the Targum, is the intro to the Targum for the Haftorah. But when it comes to the Haftorah, we're much more lenient. And there, the Oile, the one who makes, he makes the Bracha, he does make the Bracha on the Haftorah, he does make the bracha, and the Baal Kriya, either the one who gets the maftir, he actually says the very first pasuk, v'Hashem heichal kodshei has mipanav kol aretz tefillah l'chanukah hanavi al shig yoinois. He reads the first two psukim, or the first pasuk, whatever it says in the Chumash, and then the Baal Kriya himself, or someone else, reads Yitziv Piskam. So with regard to the Haftorah, we do it the real way. We really do. Interesting that the Haftorah, we are not concerned about a hefsek. We're not concerned. We make the bracha, and after we make the bracha, then we read one pasuk, and then we recite Yitziv Piskam. However, for Kriyas HaTorah, the Minog Yisrael, it's universal, Kamat universal, is not to do it the real way, the ancient way, like it was done in the time of Chazal, but instead we preempt the oile before he makes the bracha. We then recite the akdamas. Okay, what other minhagim do we have? There's a minhag. Okay, Rus. Rus we laid on the second day of Yom Tov. There is an ancient minhag, we don't do this today, but there is an ancient minhag to lay half and half. You lay half of Rus on the first day, and the other half on the second day. I've never seen such a thing, but these are all legitimate minhagim that are cited. Another question, this is a very interesting question. This is a very interesting topic. It's a big topic in of itself. There's an ancient minhag that if in your community someone wishes to donate a Sefer Torah to the Beis HaKnesses, the day where you inaugurate a Sefer Torah is Shavuos morning. The ideal time to make a Hachnosa Sefer Torah is Shavuos morning. And that means Shavuos morning, first day, you, when it comes time to lane, so instead of opening up the Ohr HaKodesh, you bring the Sefer Torah from outside. That's what was done. You go to the house of where the Sefer Torah is, and the Tzibur escorts the Chassan to the Kala. Okay, everyone, you finished saying Hallel, you Shachar is Hallel, and now everyone goes to the home where the new Sefer Torah is present, and they escort the new Sefer Torah to Shul, and they bring it to Shul with dancing and singing, and they put down the Sefer Torah, and now they inaugurate it by leaning from it for the very first time. And it's such a simcha, Chazal say, the Poskim say, this is something that was done in ancient times, is that in this situation you are permitted to lane more than five aliyos. Ordinarily, we're very makbid not to lane on Yom Tov more than five aliyos, because we lane five on Yom Tov, six on Yom Kippur, and seven on Shabbos. So we don't want to make Hosafos. You make Hosafos on Shabbos, because that's already the max. But you don't make Hosafos on Yom Tov when you only have five. That's a no-no. No shul makes Hosafos on Yom Tov, because there is a Hakpada five only, in order to differentiate between Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos. And the weekday. During the weekday, we lane, we know the numbers, during the weekday, it's three. Rosh Chodesh is four. Yom Tov is five. Yom Kippur is six. Shabbos is seven. Okay? Three, four, five, six, seven. It's all nice and neat. Simchas Torah, the minig is you can learn as much as you want. Everyone in Shul gets an aliyah on Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah, the minig is to break all the rules, you can learn on Simchas Torah as many as you want. Just like on Simchas Torah, you can make Hosafos and learn as many aliyahs as you want, give everyone aliyah. When you make a Hachnosas Sefer Torah on Shavuos morning, you're allowed to lane as much as you want. To give everyone in the shul a new aliyah, everyone comes to wish the new Sefer Torah a Mazel Tov. And the way you wish a new Sefer Torah Mazel Tov is you make a bracha on the Sefer Torah. How to make a bracha on the Sefer Torah? You give him an aliyah. Isn't that a beautiful way to wish a Mazel Tov to the new Sefer Torah? The way you wish a Mazel Tov the Sefer Torah is you make a bracha on the Sefer Torah. How are you going to make a bracha on the Sefer Torah? You give him an aliyah. What do you mean? There are only five aliyahs. No, they're not. We'll read it again. We'll read the parsha again and again and again and again. Okay, I don't know. I don't know the exact detail. Obviously, it's not so simple. You have a service at Dibros. I don't know. Maybe you talk and read it. You do multiple times. But this is documented, what was done in ancient times. Hachnas HaSefer Torah takes place in the morning. Now, this is very important. Now, I say this for a very important reason. On Yom Tif, this is what it says in the place. On Yom Tif, are you allowed to carry? Let's deviate a little bit to Halacha. Friday, it's Chol. Are you allowed to carry? Yes! Everyone knows that on Yom Tif you're allowed to carry. Mitoich shehutro litzarech oichel nefesh, hutro l'shloi litzarech. You're allowed to carry. Not so fast. You're only allowed to carry on Yom Tif litzarech mitzvah. People abuse. This is another halacha that unfortunately is abused. You're only allowed to carry on Yom Tif litzarech mitzvah if I need to bring my sefer to shul, a sidur, a talis, a machzor. You're allowed to bring it, and you're allowed to take it home. You're allowed to take it home. The lomdus is because I can't take it home. I'm not going to take it. Like atzalah. If I'm not going to be able to go home, I'm not going to go on an atzalah call. Okay? So part of the permission to go is the permission to go back home. Part of the heter to bring your sitter is to take the sitter back home. Also, you might get lost. You want to go with your wife and your children in the baby carriage. We're very makel. Everything somehow became a mitzvah. But the poskim asked the question, tell me, are you allowed to take a Sefer Torah to shul? Question is, here's the question, being that there's a Minhag Yisrael, it's from time immemorial to have a Hachnosah Sefer Torah on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So people, you'll look around today, you'll discover that people today are making a Hachnosah Sefer Torah on Shavuos. But when are they doing it today? They're not doing it 5 o'clock in the morning. They're doing it 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Friday, I'll send you an invitation. Come to this year, obviously not. Okay, this year everyone's in lockdown, but let's make believe we're dealing in regular times. Make believe it's a regular Yom Tov. There's no issue of social distancing. We send you an invitation. I've seen this. Send you an invitation. Shavuos. 3 o'clock, come to my home. We're having a beautiful kiddush, a beautiful cheesecake event. Come, we're going to have a drasha. The rabbi is going to be there. He's going to speak words of inspiration. We're presenting the Beis HaKnesses a new Sefer Torah. No writing. We already did that. We did that already. We're just going to inaugurate by bringing and dancing with the Sefer Torah to shul. So the place can say you're not allowed to do that. This happens all over the place. Unless you have an Eruv. If you have an Eruv, it makes on Yom Tov, it makes it better. It doesn't make it perfect. You know, there is such a thing having an Eruv on Yom Tov also. Because just because you're allowed to carry, most place can hold an Eruv lets you carry anything you want to do. You want to play baseball? Go right ahead. There's a Shaila if you're allowed to only use an Eruv for Tzarech Mitzvah, or you can use an Eruv for Dvarim B'Telim U'Mevutalim. Many of us are making, we use an Eruv even Dvarim B'Telim U'Mevutalim. But to carry on Yom Tov without an Eruv is clearly forbidden, according to all opinions, unless it is a bona fide mitzvah. Big dilemma is, what do you call the bona fide mitzvah? Taking your children in a baby carriage to shul on Shabbos, with all of the paraphernalia that comes along with it, is that really called a bona fide mitzvah? Well, puk chazi ma amar devar, it is, because everyone does it. So it must be a bona fide mitzvah. But when it comes to hachnasah sefer Torah, where no one does it every single day, it doesn't happen every single day, people ask the question, are you allowed to carry a sefer Torah in the street on Yom Tov? Well, the answer all depends. If you have not yet davened Shachris, and you're planning to use this Sefer Torah for Kriyas HaTorah, it is poshut ad me'ol, that it is permitted to carry the Sefer Torah in the Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa on Yom Tov, to bring the Sefer Torah to the shul to lane from it. But if you have already davened Shachris and already laned at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you came home at 7 o'clock and you went to sleep, and now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you want to have a party where you're going to come to someone's house and have delicious food and words of inspiration in that order, precisely, first the food and then the Divrei Torah, and then you're all going to dance, the police are going to close off traffic for you, and you're going to escort the Sefer Torah, you're going to carry the Sefer Torah b'sufim v'mcholois to the Beis HaKnesses, what are you doing? You're being mechalel Yom Tov. You're carrying in the street. You're not allowed to do that. You're going to give all the children flags and peklach. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry only litzorech mitzvah. Some people are so machmir, if they have a keychain, they don't have keychains anymore. Everything is in the head, right? The combinations. But they used to have keychains. You would have to take off the key from the keychain. You're only allowed to carry the key that you need. You're not allowed to carry the whole keychain on Yom Tov. Only the Tzorach Mitzvah. So if you have already lained in the morning and now it's Zman Mincha and there is no Kriya Sator Zman Mincha, you're not allowed to carry the Sefer Torah to the Beis HaKnesses, because what are you going to do with it when you come to the Beis HaKnesses? Nothing. There's no mitzvah. There's no Kriyas HaTorah now to lane from. You want to sit in Erev Tavshilin? You're taking the Sefer Torah for tomorrow? Interesting shaila. Maybe you're right. I don't know. Maybe there's such a thing. Maybe the Erev Tavshilin allows you to take a Sefer Torah on Friday for Shabbos. But when it's a two-day Yom Tov where it's not Shabbos, maybe then it's different. I don't know. But this is a very big topic of discussion, halacha, to understand, to clarify this point. This, without question, it is cited in all of our old Sephardim and Minhagim from ancient communities, from communities from back time immemorial, that the day that was designated for Achnosa Sefer Torah was the Yom Tov of Shavuos. But don't get carried away. When they did La Halacha, they did it for Shachris. The Achnosa Sefer Torah took place in the morning. They davened Shachris, they recited Hallel, and then they engaged in this celebration of inaugurating the new Sefer Torah. They went to the home of where the Sefer Torah was found. They escorted it in the street. Anyway, it was a Carmelist. No one had a Shram Deraisa those days. They brought it to the shul. They brought it. And then they laned the Kriyas Hayoim of Yom Tov, whether it was the first day or the second day. And they gave out multiple aliyos, so everyone can have a chelik, and you can wish the Sefer Torah a mazel tov by making a bracha in that Sefer Torah. Okay, kokeli. Now, by the way, okay, there are more things that I just want to throw out something. I don't know what this thing means. This always intrigued me. This intrigued me about Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, there's a minog, and it's Shulchan Aruch, and you do this. People who know, they do this. They do this. I've seen it done. On Tisha B'Av, the one who gets Shlishi, when he gets the Aliyah, it could be even the one who gets Kohen and Levi. I don't know. I don't remember. But certainly the one who gets Shlishi on Tisha B'Av in the morning, before he makes the bracha on the Sefer Torah, before he says, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevarach, he says, Baruch Dayan HoEmes. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. When you get an Aliyah on Tisha B'Av in the morning, and you're going to lay in the words of the Neshantem Ba'aretz, Fehishchatem Ba'asisim Hora, Haidoisi Bochem Hayom Es Hashemam Es Aretz, Ki Ovoid Toi Veidun, when you come on Tisha B'Av morning to read the harsh words of the Torah in Parshas Vo'eschanan, that Hashem will destroy us, Achman Litzlan, these are very powerful words, before you make the bracha, you are supposed to say in an undertone, Baruch Dayon Ho'emes. I was under the impression that's the only time ever we do something like that. To say in an to say something before you make the get the aliyah. I've discovered, either it was yesterday or 2 days ago in preparing, is that on Shavuos there's an old minhag to say Rochav Elokim Riboisayim. It's a pasuk in Tehillim in Mizmor Samaches. Rochav Elokim Riboisayim, which means Hashem has rided upon myriads of angels. The Ribbono Shel Olam has descended upon this world together with the Malachi Hasharis in order to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. So I guess the person who gets the last Aliyah, the Aliyah Chamishiv Aseres HaDibrois, just like on Tisha B'Av you say Baruch Dayanu Emes in a Hakdama, in an intro to the Aliyah, there's such a principle is before you get the Aliyah, you say a pasuk or an expression that captures the essence of the Aliyah. Who ever heard of these things before? Okay, we make a bracha on the Sefer Torah. But before you make the bracha, you should prepare yourself to know what you're making a bracha on. If you're getting Shlishi on Tisha B'Av, they're not being in the lane for you very pleasant things. Ki avoid toivei dun is not very pleasant for a person who takes it very seriously. It's even worse than the Teichacha. Okay, the Teichacha is a Teichacha. Here it says pretty scary stuff. You're going to be obliterated. Ki avoid toivei dun. You acknowledge that. I acknowledge what's happening now. Baruch Dayanu Emes. When you get the Aliyah for the Aseres HaDibrois, this is not a joke. Acknowledge what is happening, what you're about to read. The Ribbono Shel Olam is descending. He is coming down. Hashem is riding on his chariot on the Merkava, with accompanied by myriads of angels. Okay, this is serious business. I've never, ever seen anyone do this. Okay, I'm trying to present you things that no one ever does in order just to get an appreciation. I'm not saying to Hashem, do this, you don't do this, but get an appreciation of what is going on the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Okay, piyutim. There are a lot of piyutim. Unfortunately, we don't say piyutim. Okay, piyutim, there are a lot of people saying shacharis, we don't say the piyutim, because we are not well-versed in understanding what it means. You just can't say a piyut. You have to prepare for a piyut. You got to prepare for weeks, months, to learn every word, to understand what you're saying. Then the piyut will have meaning. Akdamas also. Last year we spent the whole season on Akdamas. We spent a lot of time on Akdamas this year. I'm not doing it this year because we do different things this year. But if you don't prepare the Akdamas in advance, it's a lost opportunity. Or you come there, the Yom to davening, and you just say Akdamas. If you don't, it's hard stuff. It's very deep. If you don't sit down for days and prepare what you're about to read, it's just lip service, if even that. Okay, next thing is, jumping around the tefillah, the second day we say Yizkar. Second day, we not to forget to say Yizkar. Before we dive in Musaf, this is something very interesting. I always was wondered about this, and I found something. I found this year's a very interesting write up about this, and that is Kokeli. Kokeli is a magnificent piyut. We really should spend time learning Kokeli inside. Okay, studying the Kokeli. It's a beautiful piyut. There have been so many beautiful melodies that have been composed for there's a certain classics, which the truth is you don't hear anymore. You don't hear the classics because they're very elaborate and it takes a very long time to properly recite the Kokeli in the classic melodies. Today, unfortunately, you go to a shul, so the Baal Tefillah will take a modern song from a tape from Mordechai Ben David or one of the one of the popular celebrities and will adapt that melody to the kokeli and sing the kokeli very quickly. Chaval, chaval, chaval. That's the way it is, okay? That's the world we live in today, but that's what happens. You just take a melody, a fast melody from you know, the modern celebrity. That's what it is. It's not what it was meant to be. Kokeli is a very powerful piyut describing the korbanos, the musafim, and la'oilov, la'shlamim, la'msachim, that describes the korbanos hayoyim. There are traditional classic melon, just like no one would dare adapt the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei on Yom Kippur to a modern melody on some CD that you could buy in Eichler's. You'd have to have lost your mind to start saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu V'lokei Avosein V'lokei Avram V'lokei Yitzchak V'lokei Yaakov to a melody that you find in Eichler's on the shelf. And guess what, Rabbi? There are people that do that. Okay, there are people that actually have lost their minds, actually do that. They've even gone so far to change the melody of the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, you don't do that. The first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei on Yom Kippur, there are classic, ancient melodies, Aleinu. Okay, everyone, I assume, still sings Aleinu in the classic melody of Aleinu on Yom Kippur. It's the same thing for Kokeli. The melodies that have been composed for Kokeli are ancient and they're very beautiful. They're not boring. These are really, not everyone knows it. Not everyone knows the melodies. And not everyone has the patience to listen to the entire melody. Now this I found always very intriguing. Very intriguing. We don't say Kokeli too often. Why not? Because it's our minug not to say Kokeli on the day when we recite Yizkor. Correct? So on Shmini Atzeres, there's no Kokeli. On the second day of Shavuos, there's no Kokeli. On Achron Shel Pesach, there's no Kokeli. Shabbos, do we say Kokeli when it's Shabbos Chol HaMoed? I don't think so. We do not. So Kokeli, we say Kokeli, I guess the first 2 days of Pesach, right? The first 2 days of Pesach, and Shavuos Shel Pesach, but not on the last days. So when I was younger, I used to daven religiously in Yeshiva Rabbeinu Chaim Berlin. Now, I used to daven in the Young Israel. I grew up in the Young Israel, and I knew that. I was very well aware that on when we say Yizkor, we do not sing Kokeli. And Chaim Berlin, one thing I enjoyed very much with Chaim Berlin is that they did Kokeli very, very well. They sang the traditional ancient nigunim, and they put up very well experienced Baal Tefillah, and they really it's really remarkable how they did Kokeli. It was really a very, very meaningful Kokeli. It grew on me, the Kokeli, how they sang it. It was very meaningful, and I always was very disturbed. I just found it very strange that in Chaim Berlin, they sang Kokeli on the days when they said Yizkor. Okay? They broke the rules. That not only did they on the second day of Shavuos, on Shmini Atzeres, they sang Kokeli. Even Yizkor. There was Yizkor. Haskoras neshamos. Everyone get out. Mass Exodus. Okay, mass Exodus. Everyone comes back after Yizkor. Avrachamim. No, Avrachamim goes after. I don't remember what they did. They did Avrachamim first. And then they sang Kokeli.
Kokeli goes after because it's an Asher Yoshua.
Okay, right, correct. Very good. Right. Avrachamim. And then Kokeli. And I remembered someone there was very nasty, and he said, what are they doing here? They don't, this place, they're nuts. How in the world, don't you know you don't sing Kokeli when you say Yizkor? And this guy went on, when he says, Kokeli is such a happy nigun, we just said Yizkor, we have so much tsar, you have no sensitivity, There's no sensitivity. How can you have no sensitivity to sing Kokeli on the day when we say Yisgar, this fellow was really, really worked up. Like Mark was worked up before. This guy was really Mark. Shut him down. Shut down the Baal Tefillah. How could you have the insensitivity to sing Kokeli on the day when you say Yisgar? I was a kid. I don't know the difference. I think I know nothing. It does whatever. That stuck in my mind. Life goes on. You move on. I don't daven on Shabbos and Yom Tov in Chaim Berlin. I daven there during the week, but not on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So I haven't davened there on Shabbos and Yom Tov for years. And I have a very good friend who's a Gabbai, who's one of the Gabbayim. And he says to me, "No, Yeshiva, we have new minhagim, naya minhagim. We broke the Messiah here. We broke them, but we've changed the rules. Change the rule. What? Change the rules there? Like, you know, there, like the living there from Bismarck. What are you telling me? What rules did you break?" So he said, "You wouldn't believe it." I said, "Tell me." He says, "Guess what? We no longer say Kokeli on the days when we say Yisgar." There was a machlokes here. People objected to this practice. So there was a meeting amongst the Talmidei Chachamim, and they decided no more. I was shocked. Wow, you break the rules? Who made the rules to begin with? Rav Chudner. All of the rules were established by Rav Chudner, and basically he did there in Chaim whatever they did in Slobodka. He just copied whatever they did in Slobodka. He copied. That's what it appears. He didn't do anything on his own. He just copied whatever they did in Slobodka. That's who did in Slobodka. I don't know. Whoever made up the rules in Slobodka, somehow that's what happened over here in America, over here on Coney Island Avenue. That's the way it is. So this year, fascinating, I came across write-up on Kokeli. And in the write-up, it says that the Minhag HaOlam is not to say Kokeli when there is Yisgar, because of this reason, because it's a tsar. And this Sefer analyzes all the source and he comes to the conclusion that it's wrong. The real correct minig from Shonim Kadmonios is to say Kokeli when you say Yisgar. Would you believe it? And he writes, especially in Eretz Yisrael, when there's only one day, and at least in America, Chutz Li'aretz, so one day you say Kokeli, one day you don't. And even that's wrong. But in Eretz Yisrael, where there's only one day, and if you're not going to say Kokeli on Shavuos because you're saying Yisgar, you've destroyed, you've left out the whole Kokeli. What, you're going to rely upon Pesach and Sukkot? Each of the Chagim is supposed to say Kokeli. So he has a write-up. I don't know all the details. And it just struck like a bolt of lightning. You know, in Slobodka, they probably knew what they were doing. They probably knew in Slobodka what they were doing, that you're supposed to say Kokeli when you say Yisgar. It's not a contradiction. It's true that it's Yisgar. Who says Yisgar is sad? Is Yisgar supposed to be sad? What exactly is Yisgar? That's a big topic. What exactly your emotion? What exactly are your emotions supposed to be when you recite Yisgar? You're supposed to cry and be sad? Is that what you're supposed to do? And that becomes now a contradiction to the emotions of Kokeli? Is that really correct? It's not so simple at all. It's not so simple that the minhag that we have not to say Kokeli, this is the way it is. No one's changing anything anymore. The minhag Yisrael today is we do not say Kokeli on a day when we say Yisgar. That is the way it is. Finished. Period. But if we were to go back and study some of the ancient sources and the ancient minhagim of communities back, way, way back in earlier times, where they had the benefit of having amongst them very holy people that we cannot even fathom who these people were, who had very great understanding, we discover that they did say Kokeli on the day where they said Yisgar. And if we, for every reason, have to skip things in davening, so maybe in Chutz La'aretz, when we have 2 days, we get away with it, but when you only have one day of in Eretz Yisrael, where there's only one day, and and you have to say, and you know, it's an amazing, it's a very long davening the first day. Think about it. You have to do, you do on that one day, Akdamos, Aseres Adibrois, Hallel, the whole Hallel, Yizkar. What else? Yizkar and Rus.
Rus.
So it's the longest davening in the entire year in Eretz Yisrael. To have all of these things come together. So you probably can understand why people were looking to cut corners, because the davening is so long. Oh, Kokeli also. And it's a very long nigun. The traditional nigun. If you know the traditional nigun, it's a very long nigun. It goes on. I remember my father's shul in Avenue J. There was a fellow there. His name was, forgot his name. He studied. He was into this, into the Kokeli, and he did the whole rendition. It took a very long time. People were very annoyed. He did the whole thing from beginning to end, and people came up to him afterwards and said, they said to him, I heard the first part. The first part we knew. That's like we do that, but you did a second part we never heard before. Where did you get that? So he says, aha, exactly. I don't know. He learned it by somebody, and he says this is a relic of the past. It's forgotten. No one even knows this. There are few people alive today that still remember this from the Altaheim of how to do the melody of the second part of Kokeli. Most of us don't even know the first part, but there's a whole elaborate second part. And the truth is also, we should know that when it comes to Yitziv Piskam, this is what everyone says, Yitziv Piskam, we know we do Akdamus. Akdamus is the same nigun. By the way, the nigun of Akdamus is the same nigun as the Rishus, or the other way around, on Rosh Hashanah, when we call up the Chosan Torah and the Chosan Bereshis, the melody that the Shatz uses, the Rishus, na 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 na, I don't know the words, na na, then Amoid, 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 Torav, so and so, the nigun, the melody of the Rishus of Simchas Torah, is the melody of Akdamas. Not everyone puts two and two together. I never figured that out until someone explained it to me. That's the melody. The melody of the Rishus on Simchas Torah for the Chosan Torah and the Chosan Bereshis is the melody of Akdamas. How did that happen, Rabbi Isai? How did that happen? You know how it happened? Because it's exactly the same thing. What exactly is Akdamas? Akdamas is Nitilas Rishus. The Miturgamon, I told you before that he is giving an introduction. Part of his introduction is he's asking permission from the people. Part of the words of the Rishus, Avlo Shokilna Harma Urishusa. He's asking permission, Derech Eretz, from the people in the shul. I want to, please give me permission to tell you a Dvar Torah in honor of the Yom Tif, which relates to the Kriyas HaTorah that we're about to begin. When you call up the Chosan Torah and the Chosan Bereshis, you're also doing the same thing. You're asking the Tzibur permission from the Tzibur to call up, that you should be permitted to call up, or that these people should be called up to be Messiahim the Torah, or to start the Torah. It represents the theme of the Rishus of Chosan Torah and Chosan Bereshis is similar in principle to the Akdamas. Both of them dwell upon the principle of asking permission. And by the way, that's very appropriate for Shavuos, because Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. What is Derech Eretz? Nitilas Rishus, asking permission. When we recite Kriya Shema every day, what do we say in the Nusach HaTfilah? The Malachi HaShores, V'chulim Noisnim Rishus Zela Zela Hakdish Liyot Shem Menachas Ruach. before they speak and they say Kadosh, 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 they have derech eretz for one another. Before we read from the Torah, we first ask for permission. We ask for permission from one another, from the Shliach Tzibur, from the people, from the Tzibur, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We behave like the Malachim, because before we are makabel the Torah, derech eretz kodma la Torah. And the melody that we use for Akdamos is the same melody that we use for the Rishus on Simchas Torah. Okay, this is some of the ideas of Akdamos, okay, and the melody. Okay, what was I saying before? And Eretz Yisrael and Kokeli and Eretz Yisrael. There are a lot of things going on in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why somehow they seem to cut corners and they just say, you know, forget about Kokeli. Okay, it's tragedy. Okay. It's a tragedy that Kokeli has been cut out. But the bottom line is, that's the way we do it today. Today we only say Kokeli on a day when we do not recite Yizkar. When we recite Yizkar, we recite the Peel of Kokeli. Yeah.
I use them in the Machzorim from the Hebrew Publishing Company called Bo. And they have Kokeli written in on the days that you say Yitzchak.
They do have it there.
The other thing is, I'm thinking, let's say you have...
How do you know it's a... How do you know it's a day?
Over Bar Mitzvah, like, let's say you have a bunch of children over Bar Mitzvah, like in the Tzirei Minyan, Pirkei Minyan. They have no... They, Baruch Hashem, they have parents, so they don't have to say Yitzchak. Let them say Kokeli.
You're saying something very interesting. You're saying that why should... You're saying something very interesting. I don't know the answer. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. Why are we favoring the mood? The understanding is, the common understanding, whether it's right or wrong, is that it's not the right time to sing this melody when people are thinking about the dead.
Yes, I understand
that. That's the common understanding. And obviously that argument has won the day. And Hanach Lohem Li Yisrael, in Einam Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im. And that's the bottom line. We're not going to fight City Hall. That's the way it is.
That's true.
And I told you, even Chaim Berlin, they sang Kokeli. That's the way they did it. And now, I mean, shocking, they cut it out. Why did they cut it out? I don't know. That's what it is. People protested. They didn't like it. They thought it was Shloi Kedin. Is it Shloi Kedin? Adarabah. It says you do say it.
Written in 1930s.
Are you sure it's the saying? Okay, but that's the way it is today. This is the accepted custom in Klal Yisrael today not to do it.
Yes.
Yet, it is something that we should not take lightly. It's a beautiful piyut, and there is a beautiful ancient melody that is connected to it. And hopefully one day it will be restored to its full glory. And maybe if we have time, we should actually spend time studying this piyut. Maybe we'll spend time on that. We'll see. There's more. Obviously, there's a lot more to discuss. We are out of time. We'll pick it up this Mishnah tomorrow. We'll continue with some more of these things. We still didn't get to Bikurim. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sai. Enjoy. Stay safe. Go for a beautiful walk. It's really nice outside.
Amen.
Keep well, everybody.
Mark, you were very quiet today.
Thank you. Hi. Larry, you were very quiet today. Name is Yitzhak.
Oh, you send it to me. What's his name? Oive.
The Bartanura.
The Bartanura. I was thinking of
what? You have to get a bottle of wine.
Right.
All right. Akosana Ayanika.
Have a great day, everyone.
Be well. Zai gesund. Thank you.
Have a good one, everybody.
Bill Bloom, you still there?
How are
you
doing,
Phil?
All right. Bill,
how's your wife?
Thank God.
Okay.
And by the way, there's a mach sitter that has everything printed in Bruins called Kaftor Ferach, and they do not have Kokeli in it at all.
Oh.
Maybe it's a printer's error.
Nothing.
No, it's a Hasidish minig. They never get that far.
But it's not there. So you have to contact the publisher. Yeah, but it's a great sitter. Kaftor Ferach.
Tonight the Chumash Shir is on? Yes, 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 yes. Tonight it's on, tomorrow also, yes. Yes, I have a shloishim, but the shloishim is tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and it's late. They're having it very, very late at night, so I'll be able, Mirat Hashem, I should be able to be there. They're having it like 9 o'clock. I thought it would be earlier, yeah. But yeah.
What's
so tonight,
the story, Mayor? Posner is open.
I'm not going. I heard it's open. They didn't have a minion at 8 o'clock. They had a 6:50 minion and a 9 o'clock minion. People were wearing masks.
But there's no preparation.
Huh?
They didn't say anything.
Eshi, if you want to go, stand outside and listen through the window.
I'm not going. I'm over 62.
There's a minion on the dead end block, an outside minion on 26.
No.
Ashrei Yoshve Vesecha.
I have a big job today. I have to teach.
All right.
Hey, you forgot to, whoever's there forgot to shut their mic and we could hear your whole discussion. Hello?
Then you'll come tonight. Or you'll come.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
All right.
If you need to see somebody, you will sign in. She's okay with sitting there. She's supposed to stay with a mask, but the way to go.
All right. Bye-bye, have a good day. Be well.
Okay.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
The thing you brought up before about the Yonavah Flatbush?
Yes.
I think there's two reasons. Number one is there's no bottom Flatbush. Everybody does their own thing. And it's also a political thing.
What's the political, what do you mean political thing? What's the political thing?
Herschel Schechter's been posking on all the things.
It's not only him. Rav Hill David, Rav David Cohn, Rav David Feinstein, Rabbi Feldman from Ner Yisrael. It's not him. He's not the only one. He's not the only one.
The 5 towns. Yeah. Came out. They're not open. They all signed.
The 5 towns is not a YU community. The 5 towns, they're not. There are a lot of people in Teaneck. Yes, Teaneck is a heavy duty YU community. But in Passaic, they're locked down in Passaic. Of Mayor Stern.
Because there's a bond
there. Right. There's one person who makes a decision. There's
in
one person.
We don't have a bond.
We don't have. Everyone's a superstar.
Everybody's for themselves.
Everyone's a superstar.
Right.
Right, exactly.
Everybody wants the Paskin for themselves.
Everyone's a superstar. In Passaic, I saw, my brother told me, this is in Passaic, it's New Jersey. New Jersey, by the way, it's much stricter. Even though the rules there are much, the government, the laws are much, much tougher in Passaic. But my brother told me in the Passaic, all the Rabbanim are putting, everyone there is kofuf. They're subordinate to Rav Meir Stern. He's the Rashiva of the Yeshiva. No one's going to do anything without his permission. That's the way they've won the community. They put on him enormous pressure to open up. So he said, let me make my own investigation. So he said, he came back to all the Rabbanim, and he said to them, this is as follows. I went and I made an investigation, Lakewood. In Lakewood, they're having minyanim. They're minyanim outside, minyanim inside, all types of minyanim. And the Rabbanim have laid out rules. How many people are allowed to be in a minyan? You have to wear masks. And social distancing protocols. And there's a long list. I have thoroughly investigated what is going on, and I have discovered that the people of Lakewood are in violation of all of the rules that have been established by the Rabbanim. It's not possible. Once you give people permission to daven in a shul, inside or outside, you set a limit of 12 people. How many show up to the minyan? 15 show up to the minyan. You tell them they have to wear masks. Half of them are not wearing masks. You tell them they have to stay 6 feet apart. They're only 4 feet apart. So it's true. In the other communities, the Rabbanim have indeed given permission, given their blessing, and they have also laid out laws, rules. And in the vast majority of the shuls where they're davening and there are rules, the people are in gross violation of the rules that the Rabbanim have established. From that, he says, I learn that it's a davar she'ein hatsiba yochol lamad ba. Once you give permission, it will just unravel and it's going to be a sakana.
What? Where we live here in Flatbush, there's no vat.
There's no vat. It's the Wild West. It's the Wild West. Everyone is a superstar.
So it's that and it's political.
What's the political? I don't think it's political.
We're not going to listen to you on you.
No, I hear what you're saying. I appreciate what you're saying, but I respectfully disagree. I really don't see that being the issue. I don't see, because there are a lot of very, very choshva rabbanim who are not in that political arena.
A good is not.
I don't think they've really said anything. They haven't really commented. They don't want to get involved. They're smart. They don't want to get involved. You do whatever you don't bother you. Anyway, not going to listen to us. Anyway, not going to. So don't ask us.
Okay.
You don't want to listen to us anyway. That's the truth.
It's very appropriate for Rus by Ibi Meishvot Hashoft. Kol Ayosha B'Einov Yatzeh.
It is very disturbing that these are the Gedolei Yisrael, Shemi Pima Nuchoyim, Rav Feinstein, Phil David, Rav David Cohn, Rav Feldman, Rav Hershel Schachter. And when it comes to this, yeah, they're old. they're not with it. You know, all of a sudden, we know better. It's really interesting. It's we're all about, myself
Rabbi
included.
Levine,
myself Rabbi included. Levine, yeah.
I heard that Rabbi Oster's shul had 50 people this Shabbos.
It's not a big shul.
Hello?
It sounds a little bit strange. 50 people sounds. It's not a big shul, but Oster's shul.
No, hey, of course not.
Young Israel of Rabbi Alman is closed.
Well, you see, that's I don't want.
Average age there is
70. Exactly. I don't think Alan Gross, who also is the youngest Avenue J. I don't think so. He says that he yesterday asked Hershel Schachter. You know something? I know what he said, and I know the reason why J is closed and Flatbush is closed is because there's no one to open up for. Well, you can open up the shul. You can open up the shul. You're not gonna have a minion. Who are they opening up for? Who's coming?
There's no one there.
Who's coming? Who's coming to Avenue J on Shabbos? Who? No one's gonna come. The minion on Shabbos is 20 people, and they're all over 80, 70. There's no one to open up for. That's the real reason why. If you're gonna tell me the shul was thriving, the shul of young people, and the answer of Hershel Schachter, and he said no, and then okay, I understand. Your mom is your covered of Hershel Schachter. That's not an answer. The reason why you're not opening is because there's no one to open up for. That's the reason. Mr. Weiss, am I saying the truth?
Absolutely, I guess.
Right, Mr. Weiss and I are coming back eighth day of Hanukkah.
Absolutely. That's the anniversary of the morning call.
I'm very upset. I hung out in a place. I can't be in the house. I have to go somewhere. I hung out in a place that was empty. We had one guy on the other side. He was like 50 feet away from me, and a guy in the basement. And now I can't go there. I have nowhere to go. I can't go there now. It's crazy. They drove me out. I'm very upset. I'm very upset. I have nowhere to go.
Okay. Have a great day. Stay safe.
Yes, I'm going.
And
all right, be well. Be well, be well.
Be well.
All the best.
So where are you diving this Yontif?
I don't know yet. I don't know yet. Probably nowhere. Probably stay home.
You don't have to lane?
Probably not. Probably not. Probably not. No, not likely. If I'm not laning and no one's going to pressure me to come lane.
Microphone.
So I could stay home. There's anyway no learning. There's no learning in none of the shuls that I know of having learning. Rabbi Shulman made it very clear there's no learning in shul. There's no learning in shul. All right, Rabbi Sai, have a wonderful day, okay? I'm going to start him off.
Thank you very much. Very good.